Proponents of election reform often point to Arizona and Maine, two states they say have gotten public campaign financing right. The Arizona Citizens Clean Elections Act allows candidates running for the legislature or statewide office the chance to pass on special interest money by collecting a certain number of $5 donations. In return, they receive full funding for their campaign. Todd Lang is executive director of the Citizens Clean Election Commission. WMNF asked him just how bad things got before the legislation was passed.
It got very bad here in Arizona. In fact, we'd had a couple of governors who had been impeached or resigned. We had the AzScam scandal, which involved bribes and campaign contributions to sitting legislators, in return for a quid pro quo regarding a gambling operation. Once we had AzScam and a governor stepped down, and then another governor stepped down in 1997, in 1998 the voters had had enough, and they enacted the Clean Elections Act in 1998 as a voter initiative. This was not legislation through the legislature. Over half of our candidates ran clean this cycle, and in the last couple of election cycles it was about two-thirds. And over half our legislature and half our statewide officers were elected using, public funding.
So let's talk about funding for the system. Florida's funding source for public campaign financing is the state's general revenue fund right now, which frankly doesn't have a lot of cash in it, and that's generating some fierce opposition.
Our primary source of funding is a surcharge on fines and penalties. Folks knew that there's no way the legislature is going to appropriate money for clean elections when they were opposed to it. And so they came up with this clever financing scheme. Basically, when you rob a bank or something more innocuous like get a parking ticket, there's a surcharge on the penalty you pay that goes to the Clean Elections Fund. And that's more than enough money to fund our candidates and transfer several million dollars to the state legislature each year for them to use as they see fit.
Now, how expensive, say, is a given gubernatorial race?
Our most expensive race was the most recent one, and that's because we had a wealthy individual, apparently like yours, in Florida. We had one here in Arizona who spent about $1 million of his own money. And for us, that's a lot. We fund the governor's race. For the primary, it's about $700,000, and for the general, it's another $1 million. And with matching funds before they were struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court in the middle of the race this cycle, it would be three times that amount. So we're talking about $2 million for the primary and a little over $3 million for the general. So our numbers are much lower than yours. It really hasn't reduced spending, but it has obviously changed the way people get their money. And people are spending their time going out, shaking hands, going door-to-door, meeting voters, doing the work of the people instead of going to fundraisers.
Now, if you could, talk about that Supreme Court challenge, because we had a similar one here in Florida.
This lawsuit had been pending for over 5 years, and frankly, it was going nowhere. It's one of, a dozen lawsuits that we've had since 1998 challenging the Clean Elections Act, and they all boil down to the same thing, a very sincere, very deeply held opposition to campaign finance reform. And they try to find constitutional hooks upon which to hang their claim, and they've all been unsuccessful. Well, recently the Supreme Court, as you know, has taken a fairly radical approach to campaign finance reform, the U.S. Supreme Court, and has struck down a number of laws. And that's reinvigorated this particular lawsuit challenging matching funds. The theory is, look, if I'm spending money and it's triggering money to my opponent, that infringes on my freedom of speech. It's a novel idea. And what's interesting is in the lawsuit here, we had a huge factual record. There was just no showing that that actually happened. If people were really intimidated by this, they would stop spending right at the limit that would have triggered matching funds. And the data shows that just didn't happen, except maybe in one or two races.
So I guess my last question would be, what advice do you have for voters here in Florida who are facing the question of whether or not to repeal public campaign financing?
Obviously, my suggestion is they keep it, because it really does enable folks to run who otherwise can't run. It enables folks who are in office to spend their time doing the public business. It enables folks, and we saw this last cycle, it enables folks who might be very conservative or very liberal to stand up to their general supporters. We had a very conservative legislator here who said no to the Chamber of Commerce, and he got a lot of heat for it. But what enabled him to do it was the fact that he didn't have to rely on the Chamber for public funding. And he had this public funding source. You can say no to the inside. years, and that's a big reason for the folks in Florida to keep the law. It sounds like maybe you need to tweak it, maybe find better funding sources, but ultimately the law makes our democracy work better.